This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Market Talk, where we offer a piping hot take on what's front of mind in financial markets. I'm Max Julius, Head of Content, standing in for my esteemed colleague Francis Watson, who is currently enjoying a much-deserved holiday in Thailand. And I'm delighted to be joined by Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research in Hong Kong. Welcome to the pod, Ben, and good afternoon. How are you?
Not too bad, Max. It's raining and cold here in Hong Kong, would you believe? But today's a little bit better than the last few days. I'm getting better, slowly.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. That reminds me of dear old Blighty. It's quite a nice day out today. Well, today we're going to talk about Russia-Ukraine tensions, inflation, and the bond market. So with no further ado, Ben, what does the geopolitical flare-up, which has escalated in recent days and hours, mean for investors?
Yeah, I'm certainly not a geopolitical expert, so I've got no particular insight about how it's going to develop from that perspective. But from a markets perspective, it's really all about sanctions and what the Western countries will apply to Russia. And within that, energy is really the key. And energy supply disruptions, of course, are massively important. So, you know, just looking at things like natural gas, look at oil as well. I mean, oil has had an amazing run this year, not just with what's been going on with the tension with Russia, but, you know, Brent, as of the close on Monday, was up another 23% this year. So it's incredible how well that's done. That's really been the epicenter. And if your countries and central banks that are trying to control inflation, seeing oil prices, natural gas go up, that's not a good thing, is it? You know, that can start to make them want to perhaps do even more tightening. So we can talk about that in a second, what that means for the markets. In terms of what people have been doing, it feels as though most reaction has been around taking a little bit of risk off, maybe buying a little bit of insurance rather than selling everything. As you know, there isn't panic yet. We've seen a spike in things like the VIX index, which is the equity options. You can buy some protection for your equity portfolio. Right. That's really touched 32% in recent days.
Right, the so-called fear index.
So there's been a little bit of de-risking, a little bit of insurance purchasing, but no outright panic.
You just mentioned inflation, Ben, and of course this is another area of huge importance to the market right now. What do the latest figures show, and how are central banks responding?
Yeah, over the last few weeks, we've had even stronger, more inflation beating expectations. Again, it just seems to be happening all the time right now. So if you look at the big countries, their headline inflation as measured by CPI year on year for the US, it's now 7.5% this year compared to where it was this time last year. Eurozone 5.2%, the UK 5.5%. So these numbers are way beyond what the central banks are looking at trying to control to. Labor markets also look pretty tight. So it feels as though that's feeding through underlying wage pressure. So yeah, absolutely. The markets now, in terms of pricing in hikes, we are now looking at 6 or 7 25 basis point rate hikes this year by the Federal Reserve, the US Federal Reserve, something like that. A lot is priced in, and that, you know, that is making, I guess, people feel a little bit nervous because that's taking away the punch bowl, isn't it? An interesting thing that's happening is we've seen the US Treasury curve, so the difference between the 2-year yield and the 10-year yield, really flatten over this period. So short-term interest rates have been going up, pricing in these rate hikes. 10-year yields have been also going up, but less so. And you tend to see curves flatten when investors are worried a little bit about recession. Not right now, but maybe in 2023, 2024. That's because the markets are factoring in short-term rate hikes, but that'll be enough to slow the economy. And then maybe they'll have to start cutting interest rates in a couple of years' time when the economy is slow. So that is an interesting dynamic. That started to be factored in.
Right. And of course, it's when the curve inverts, that's when we should really get worried.
Yeah, that's the rule of thumb. When that curve inverts, then often there's a recession within a year or so. So we haven't got there yet. It's just been flattened. We haven't inverted yet.
Well, that's very interesting. And yet, by contrast, Chinese inflation has gone the other way.
China's in a different mindset altogether. They are, if anything, cutting interest rates. They're trying to get the economy back on track. And the good news exactly is that their inflation was lower than expected. Their CPI inflation is only 0.9%. It was a little bit less than expected. They're worried about some of these input costs still. I mean, I mentioned high commodity prices. Their PPI inflation, which is more to do with input costs, is still running at 9%. But again, that's been coming down quicker than expected. That allows Chinese policymakers a bit more flexibility to cut interest rates potentially, which interestingly, they haven't been doing aggressively. They still want to try and, I guess, make the economy, the Chinese economy, better, but not flood it with liquidity. So there hasn't been a dramatic rallying of Chinese assets yet. And we'll see what the policymakers decide on their on the MPC, which is the beginning of March. Maybe we'll get some more announcements of infrastructure spending, or trying to improve the ability for companies to do capital expenditure. And that might be a sign for markets to rally if we get those headlines.
Right. And speaking of China, the property market remains in focus. Of course, property debt as well, struggling, and fixed income globally. Fixed income assets globally have been under pressure. What's the outlook here, Ben?
Yeah, as you say, within China, the property bonds are still underwater. They're still trading pretty poorly because we haven't had that flood of liquidity. But yeah, it's not just China property bonds. The fixed income, as you say. So if I just look at the US aggregate index, so this is the Bloomberg index. So year to date, as of Tuesday, the 22nd close, the overall index is down 3.8%, which is quite a decent loss in a little over 6 weeks, isn't it? The corporate index, just looking at corporate bonds, is down 5.8%. Year to date. And this is all in dollar terms. So they've taken a bit of a battering, and that's because yields have been going up with the Federal Reserve. I've mentioned that before. Also, credit spreads have been widening a little bit in line with some of the corrections that we've seen in equity markets. You know, that's been a bit weaker. We've seen mutual fund outflows from fixed income assets as a result of these negative returns. It's been tricky for fixed income globally. What I would say looking forward is when you see yields going up, credit spreads widening, it tends to make the asset class look a little bit more attractive going forward. So, for example, the US aggregate index, which is, like I said, lost 3.8%, that's yielding now 2.4%, which is not, it's interesting, isn't it? And the US corporate index is yielding now 3.2%. So it's starting to look interesting. It's no longer, you're not getting these negative yields that we've been used to for so long, isn't it? So perhaps when the Federal Reserve stops hiking interest rates, or when the market stops pricing those in, those sorts of yields will be attractive to investors, and we can start to see a bit better returns going forward.
Okay, so a somewhat comforting note for bond investors who've been a bit bruised of late. Well, finally, Ben, what's your big number of the week?
Yeah, so I mentioned that credit spreads have been widening, and a lot of that is to do with, you know, the issues that equity markets have correction in that part. So I thought I'd bring something from equity markets, and my number is 14.5, which I've been talking about returns a lot today. 14.5, it's minus 14.5%, and that's the year-to-date loss for the Nasdaq, again, as of Tuesday, the 22nd of February close. So that technology sector, which has been the darling of many investment managers, has had a real hit over, again, just a sort of 6-7 week period. And again, it just shows you that the fixed income returns have been poor, but they haven't been as poor as that. And this is still in the context of, we still like the structural earnings potential for technology stocks, and we still quite like technology as a sector. So you can see, you can get those big dips. Hopefully at some point in the next few months, that'll be recouped.
Right, well, that is a striking number for an area that has been so beloved of investors in recent years. Well, that's also a great point on which to end today's call. The next episode of Market Talk will be in 2 weeks' time, when Francis will return to the hot seat. Ben, thank you for your time today, and thank you to you, our clients and listeners, for joining us.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, elgim.com. Copyright 2021, Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, a licensed corporation, BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.